Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, my directs aren't addressing my agenda in one-on-ones. The questions this cast answers are, what if my directs don't address my agenda in their one-on-ones? Can I provide my directs with an agenda for our one-on-ones? And what do I do if my directs don't talk about work in their one-on-ones? If you are in the Portland area, consider joining us October 12th and 13th downtown at the Mark Spencer Hotel. We'll be there hosting the Manager Tools Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. Learn more or register online at manager-tools.com/training. Okay, I know this happened to me really recently in a conference. I was in Los Angeles, actually, but it's not uncommon. In fact, one of the most frequent questions we get from managers about one-on-ones is what to do when our directs don't address our agenda in their portion of the agenda, which, I mean, managers, we want to talk about the things we want to talk about. It's a reasonable question. It's also a really misguided question. One-on-ones, they're not about the boss's agenda. It's about both agendas, about our agenda and about their agenda as well. So we want to make sure both parties have time to discuss what's important to them, not just what's important to us.
Yeah. Because we know y'all might be having this problem as well, we're going to talk today about three things, which are how to get your directs to address the manager's agenda, like how to get them to address your agenda in their comments, and also why it doesn't work, and then how to get your directs to address your agenda in your time. So those are our points here today, starting with the idea around how to get directs to address what you want to talk about in their comments. And there's a really simple solution here. So for those of you IDs, the answer is up front today. Don't ever try to get your directs to address your agenda during their portion of your one-on-one, full stop.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty easy. I mean, it's very simple.
It is simple.
You can hang up now. Stop listening here.
No, wait, be our friend.
Right? Exactly. The thing is, folks, when managers ask the question, they're really asking the wrong question, to be honest. It's understandable, but it's misguided. Directs should not be addressing their boss's agenda during the directs portion of the Manager Tools one-on-one. It's that simple. It's the directs portion of the Manager Tools one-on-one. Why would they be expected to address what our portion of the agenda is designed to address? And we know that it frustrates people. We know that it frustrates managers, right? I mentioned somebody recently in LA literally said, okay, Sarah, but I want them to talk about things that I'm interested in. And the things that they talk to me about, I'm never interested in. How do I make them talk about the things that I want to hear about?
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
We hear a lot of things that we're not interested in. I listened to a whole story about turtles once, like 20 minutes about turtles. I mean, also, I don't know anything about miniature Star Wars movie sets.
Exactly. But you do now, though. You've learned so much over the years.
I've come so far. So the idea, y'all, is that your direct and yourself get your time to cover your topics. And there is a way, we promise, there's a way to get your agenda covered. It's just that you don't do it during their portion.
Mm-hmm.
So just stop trying.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, they get their time. You get your time. Mm-hmm. And I see this a lot with especially tech groups where the manager sometimes kind of in their mind superimposes this idea that this is a tag up or like an update.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a status meeting.
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is half the time I get people who say, Kate, we don't need another status meeting. And then I get people who say, why isn't this a status meeting? By saying, why don't they address my topics during their time?
Right.
And of course, it makes sense that half of the world does it one way and half the world does it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So bear in mind, y'all, that in order for us to maintain the purpose of a Manager Tools one-on-one, we need to let them have their topic and their content and their topics and their content. Also, part of the reason you enjoy one-on-ones where people talk about stuff you're interested in is because it's your, you know, it's like, oh, everyone's yeah. favorite subject. Y'all, some managers don't want to talk about the work. So you're going to have this whether you're a task-focused person or a people-focused person.
Totally.
If you're a people-focused manager, you're going to have directs come in. They're going to want to talk about work, and you're going to want to talk about Star Wars. Well,
yeah,
this happens to all managers. Some of your directs do it one way. Some of your directs do it the other way. And you're going to cover your agenda. Just
yeah,
it's not their responsibility in the same way that it's our responsibility. So
totally.
Stop trying.
Stop trying. Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about why it doesn't work, us trying to, I want to say, force our agenda onto them.
When you say it like that, it sounds so rude.
I know it does. It sounds much ruder than I actually meant it to sound.
Totally. It's just those, when I'm sure people who are listening are thinking, obviously, you know, I'm not trying to be mean. Right, and then when we say intent. Those words in that order, it's like,
mm-hmm. Ooh, ouch. It's sharp, sharper than it needs to be. Exactly. And folks, it's understandable. For managers, for you to ask how to get your agenda addressed. But like we say at Manager Tools, we don't make recommendations for things that we don't recommend you do. So we don't have recommendations for how to force them to talk about only the things that you want to talk about. And the rationale for the answer comes from the purpose of Manager Tools one-on-ones altogether. To encourage a trusting relationship between managers and their directs. That's the entire purpose mm-hmm. of the Manager Tools one-on-one. To Kate's point, status meetings, that's a different thing, right? Status meetings, project updates, getting work done, status done in an interaction has a different purpose than a Manager Tools one-on-one, in that the purpose of this, trusting relationships.
Which I just mentioned task versus people-focused managers.
Yeah, totally.
We are task-focused people, and it's a stretch for us. We struggle to justify and sometimes enjoy meetings uh-huh. about humans and their interests,
right?
Which can be varied and different and things. Lots of things. People have all kinds of interests. Our focus, though, in a Manager Tools one-on-one is trusting relationships, and trusting relationships, or just the idea of trust, it's not on someone's performance review. Mm-hmm. And it can be easy because it's not getting measured on paper.
Yeah.
To skip over the purpose and focus on work. And management science has discovered over the last 50 years that time spent on trust building between managers and directs is far more important to yes. both near and long-term work accomplishment than any other behavior. And I talked about this actually a lot this week in Austin at the conference that we had. I had, as you can imagine, in Austin, a lot of very technically focused people, lots of engineers. And when people say, Kate, we already have a bunch of status meetings, I always say, well, this meeting isn't a status meeting. That's not the purpose. And what's funny about it is there's this kind of idea like, oh, well, we don't need a meeting to be friends.
Right.
And this isn't a meeting to be friends.
Yeah.
So that's different. That's again, different.
Yeah. That is happy hour.
we're really thinking about purpose here. So there's a difference in the same way, like Cassie and I just scheduled a meeting to go over a very specific thing,
yeah.
right? That I would put on my one-on-one list, but frankly won't fit.
And right, it'll take up too much time.
Right, and so there's status meetings, and sometimes we have those. And then there's the one-on-one. And then there's the meeting for that work. So
exactly.
Yes, it's true there's a lot of status meetings. Yes, it's true there's a lot of meetings about that work. If you're not doing empty one-on-ones, and the assumption here, if you're asking this question, is that you are. But if you are not, this is a meeting with a fully different purpose, and we are going to honor it. And you know what? You're right, y'all. There's a lot of meetings. Okay. Call your meetings. Remember that the science says right. this trust building meeting is pretty much the most important.
Right. And the reason that trust building is important, the reason MT03s exist at all, is because trust just makes everything easier. Work happens faster and with less difficulty and strain when trust exists. Mm-hmm. Communications about work are shorter. You don't have to spend as much time explaining the who, what, and why of everything you did when trust inherently exists. Assumptions can be made with high confidence that they're accurate. Guidance can be inferred based on previous conversations regarding similar situations and decisions. And as we like to say, one of our favorite business book titles is The Speed of Trust and Task-Focused High D's and High C's in MT Disc language. May hate one-on-ones in the moment, having to spend all of that time, invest it. Again, to Kate's point a second ago, there are just so many meetings already. But the payoff is so huge that the people who start doing trust building MTO3s are the people who never stop doing them, right? Doing one-on-ones, doing MT one-on-ones, or not doing it, I should say, is the classic managerial example of penny wise and pound foolish. Investing time up front to create trust allows for everything to move quicker and easier in the long run.
It might be useful for some people to think of one-on-ones as managerial capital investments rather than spending on costs.
Right.
So again, there's that penny wise, pound foolish kind of analogy. Sure, you could get rid of your capital budget and you would be more profitable now.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't be investing in the future. And organizations have to be profitable for that, right? That's why. Sooner or later, because you're not investing in the future will eat you. It's one-on-ones are a strategic rather than tactical choice. It would be strategic to do these instead of just focusing on getting the work done and ignoring trust building. That would be a tactical set of behaviors.
Absolutely.
Sooner or later, you're going to need that trust. So when you do need it, it won't be there if you haven't created it.
Right.
So these are really seriously strategic choices that we're making.
Right.
And investments in the future. And another thing that I think sometimes gets missed is how heavily one-on-ones can, if done correctly, influence retention.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Somebody looking out for you, paying attention to you, helping you grow.
And the value of that in a business world where that's less common.
It's, absolutely.
It's something that sets your group, your company, your team apart. If nobody else is doing one-on-ones and you're doing them, you're showing you care. That's an additional thing on top of all the things that your directs get from the organization, right? It's a it's a benefit of the organization. And in my mind, it is one of the things that helps to keep people in organizations. So that's part of my, like the whole strategic thing for me. It's like, hey, this is a long-term thought process.
Yeah.
It's not really about each individual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And trust building, it sounds like, it can sound kind of scary. Where did I go? Where I was somewhere and, Amanda was here in Austin this week with us. And she and I saw a bunch of people like in downtown Austin getting off one of these buses for very clearly like some kind of corporate retreat team building thing, which they didn't look like they were having a good time. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about trust building, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about one-on-ones, and trust building isn't really as complicated as most people think.
Right. Especially as D's and C's. Building trust feels really hard.
Yeah, it sounds D's daunting. And
C's, exactly. D's and C's aren't really good at trusting other people. So having another trust you might feel difficult. And it's not as hard as you think. Sociologists have figured out pretty clearly how trust is built. And once you assume some basic trustworthiness, that is a near assumption for our colleagues and their level of trustworthiness is around 99.9999999%. Once you've accounted for or assumed some trustworthiness, we build trust with other people through increased high-quality communications.
Mm-hmm.
So the two metrics here then, quality and quantity. Quantity is easy. When you communicate more often with someone, than you do with, I mean, let's say any other person, mm-hmm. your trust with the former, all things being equal, improves. Of course you have better relationships with the people that you talk to more than the people you more rarely speak to. And the quality of communications is determined by two factors. The first factor is the medium used to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the mediums become a little bit tricky as of late.
Sure.
I think we can all agree, right? The richer the medium, the better the quality of communications will exist between yourself and that other party. And we can all agree face-to-face is better than video. Video then being better than audio only / phone. And phone / audio only is better than text of all forms. So let's go back to those D's and C's, those ones that struggle to build trust. If you're thinking that you're building trust by sending emails, you can't do it. The level of effort to try and do it would be so enormous to build a relationship with that person. It makes almost no sense to try. I mean, it's just so much easier to build trust face-to-face or at least verbally, at least having conversations, that sure, you could try and build that trust via email. It'll be really, really, really freaking hard, but you can try it if you want.
It would be so funny if that was why high C's sent such long emails. Obviously, it's not,
right?
Because they are not probably
more trust
invested.
Building, Kate. More trust building.
I would love to hear a high C say that. Like, the reason
awesome.
I send really long emails is because I just want to more words. It's richer. You said richer.
Right, richer.
It's kind of like, it's like old letters that, you know, like correspondence. Okay.
Right. So, except the post.
The post. Oh my goodness. Second factor of this is the topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust
yeah.
is best.
Trust of quality. Yeah.
Yeah. So quality factors, medium, and then topic.
Uh-huh.
Trust is best built by talking to people about the things that are important to them. And
to them.
Yeah.
Not you. Them.
You know, it's funny when we say that too, because it's like, I find that I'm constantly shocked by the things that other people are thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I always think to myself, when I think to myself, I wonder what they're thinking, I always remind myself, they could be thinking about frogs. It's like,
right?
They could
exactly.
Be
it could be.
So they could be thinking about
you're
Pop-Tarts.
Probably wrong.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right. So there's so many options. This is why
all
of your one-on-ones are going to be slightly different. And the conversations that we have as managers include role power influence, which means that almost every single conversation we're having with our team members centers on what's important to us, the manager. Or
yes,
maybe it's a lack of awareness on us as managers, the realization that there's this huge amount of conversations happening that are about us or just about what we want to talk about.
Right. We're the ones leading it. We're the ones choosing the topic. We're the ones asking the questions. We're the ones, and you're right, Kate, I don't think we notice.
No. I mean, I guess if I think of it in this context, and I think back to like, you know, the week, I can imagine it. And I don't think we think through it all that much.
Yeah, agreed.
It's so normal that we take it for granted.
Yeah.
And that is coming into play here. We take it so much for granted that when the direct's concerns and interests are presented to us during their time mm-hmm. in the one-on-one, we become annoyed that they're not talking. It would be that they're not talking about what we want to talk about.
I want my agenda.
It reminds me greatly of that social thing where you have people who only talk about themselves. It's like, oh, if you like, I know someone whose only topic is themselves socially, not at work.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be that person's friend.
No, they do not.
I guess because we think because we're at work, so we're getting paid. I mean, I don't know why we think this, actually. Maybe we're just mean and egotistical. I understand feeling frustrated that they're not covering what we want to cover because, again, sitting through a bunch of conversations about Star Wars was not perhaps my most favorite thing. However, I'm not going to inflict that on my team just because I'm the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't do it socially either. I mean, I listen to people talk about stuff all the time that I don't know anything about or I'm not interested in.
right? And folks, this role power dynamic that Kate's talking about, it goes beyond just our words. In that years ago, for training purposes, we used to show groups we trained a black and white, no audio security system video of a series of hallway interactions in a large, standard, typical office building. Six scenes, each 10 seconds long, of just two people having a conversation dressed in work attire. Again, no audio, just two people having a conversation in a hallway. And we showed, again, we showed groups these videos, and we asked the groups to determine, based solely on what they saw in this silent film of an office hallway, which of the two people in the conversation was the manager and which was the subordinate. And in every case, every attendee correctly identified the manager and the direct just by body language, facial expression, and amount of talk time. In 10 seconds. It's not like they watched it for an hour. It's not like they saw all the intricacies of human body language and mannerisms. 10 seconds. So the fact is, when we talk to our directs, we assume our agenda takes precedence. So much so that we think they ought to spend their time during their one-on-one telling us yet again about the things that we want to know.
It's so funny because I think that there are probably people listening who are less assertive, because for you and I, that's not atypical when we're in a conversation to assume that we're going to dominate the conversation, because that's part of our tendencies.
Yes.
I think that there are probably people listening who think to themselves, oh, I don't dominate conversations. And maybe naturally that's true, except our data says with your directs, you do.
You do.
That a little bit of role power gives you mentally that thought process, and you go about it that way. And that assumption that they have to spend their time talking to us about what is important to us flies in the face of how we build trust.
Yeah.
Which is by talking about things that matter to them, which is why this is the whole purpose.
Right, that's the whole point.
Of the MTO3. It's the reason they exist, is to give our directs time for their agenda and to ask our directs to address our agenda during their portion of our one-on-one is to destroy the basic purpose of one-on-ones and destroy trust as well. It's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do, because doing one-on-ones is about building trust, which then lead to improved results and retention. And one-on-ones are the process by which we get to the quality and quantity of communication necessary to build that trust. The idea that your directs aren't adjusting your agenda in their one-on-ones is actually cancerous to the purpose of your one-on-ones.
Yeah. You might not even do them. There's no purpose in doing them if you're going to do them in a way that destroys trust.
Right.
The only reason they exist is to build it.
Yeah.
Only reason they exist.
Hey, y'all. If you are thinking about booking private training, client training with us between now and the end of the year, maybe because of your budget or just because of your timing initiatives, for whatever reason, we just want to let you know there aren't that many days left that we have available. We'd love to come and see you. We are traveling. We would be delighted to come and help your team, your company, your group. And if you want it before the end of 2022, now is the time to let us know. We're running out of space and we do have some days left. So if you're interested in training for your group, you know, private, specific to you, please let us know. Please send us an email. You can email customerservice@manager-tools.com, or you can email Maggie at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at manager-tools.com.
Our next topic then, moving on, how to get directs to address your agenda in your time. And there are two key behaviors to getting your agenda addressed in the Manager Tools one-on-one. First, we recommend this highly, in fact, so much so that there's a podcast called Brief Before You Change, but we recommend before you start doing MTO3s, you brief your directs that you're going to start MTO3s and what's involved in it, a la what the agenda will look like. And the lack of briefing, the lack of clarity, openness between managers and their directs about this process change is a classic misstep for so many managers. We worry that by putting into practice something one-on-ones, we're taking a risk. And, you know, chances are it might not be all that I hoped for. Or maybe I'll do it wrong. Or maybe I'll run out of steam and stop doing it in a few months. And so, in order to save ourselves the embarrassment of giving up on the initiative, save ourselves the embarrassment of messing it all up, what we do to cover our own behinds is don't brief in advance, because that makes it too real. I mean, it makes it too official, and it makes it way harder for us to just give up halfway, having essentially made the promise to our directs that we're going to do it for, or on a weekly basis for any number of months. And the truth of the matter is, while we don't brief people because we're trying to give ourselves an out, the not briefing of things because of our own doubts just causes even more headwinds and doubts in the minds of our directs to materialize. They don't know why. They don't know how this works. They don't know that there's an agenda at play and that tens of thousands of managers in the country are doing this at any given moment. They don't know. They just think it's something you dreamed up.
And because there's more of them, all those things that you're afraid of, if they don't know what's going on, materialize. Like, it's not just in their minds. Like, they don't know what's going on, so they do stuff that actually causes your fears to be inflicted on yourself because of—
Totally.
And you could just tell— I mean, one of the things I've seen happen is you don't tell them as a group, and so they each think it's happening differently to each other.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, they are not briefed, and so they each guess at what other people are experiencing, and they freak out.
They freak out. Right. And then we stopped doing one-on-ones. Why? Because everybody freaked out. That's why.
And it's partially because they don't know the purpose.
Right.
So then they don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know how to do it. They don't know what they can say, can't say. They don't know if they can talk about work or puppies. They don't know if they can skip work in the chat, you know, not bring it up. They don't know if they can talk about home or family. They don't know. And so they bring their doubts and fears in, and it gets you less traction. I mean, I can see people who just would come in and just not say anything because they don't know what to say. So the briefing will kind of, you know, counterman some of that. And then we won't have that experience of it being less trust building as much. Like, we're going to get out ahead of this. Also, briefing them helps them if should they ever become managers in the future.
Right.
Whatever. You can defeat your own purpose here by using your doubts as a reason not to brief. And that's not good for you. That's not going to help. That doesn't make anything better.
Yeah, exactly. The podcast. Brief before you change. We'd never introduce a change on how you manage your team without first taking the time to introduce the change before you make the change. It sets all those concerns to rest, right? The headwinds are less because they're on your side because they understand what you're doing or what you're trying, and they want to see it succeed too.
It might keep you honest too, because—
Oh my gosh, stop. I love this. Yes.
It might keep you honest because if you tell them, then it makes it clear to them that they don't have to talk to you about your topics during their time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just trying to keep everybody honest around here.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And— Well, it's counter to the premise of this question. Briefing makes clear for your directs and for you that your directs don't have to answer your questions during their portion of the one-on-one, right?
Yeah.
The second behavior is also so simple. Wait until your portion of the one-on-one agenda and ask all of the questions you need to ask to get your agenda covered. Your directs get to go first. During their going first, they get to talk about whatever they want to talk about. Whatever they want to talk about, let's say it, is their stuff, not your stuff. And if you think their portion of a one-on-one is to brief you, you're doing it wrong. You're the one at fault. They're not the one at fault in this case, right?
Right. You're the problem. It's not me, it's you.
Right, exactly. It's not me, it's you. You're the problem. You've fallen prey to one of the most fundamental misunderstandings of the one-on-one, that they're just another meeting, one where your agenda gets to take precedence. And you can do all those kinds of meetings if you want. I mean, managers are doing them all the time. Just don't call it an MTO3 if you do them.
Yeah, please.
That's all.
We don't want to be responsible for mm-hmm. that.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, thanks. We don't need that press.
Right?
It's totally fine and common if your direct wants to talk about a problem they're having with their colleagues during their portion. And then later you ask 20 questions about status and project and issues and concerns. Mm-hmm. Directs express, when polled, no concerns about the fact that we have differing agendas. They're not upset that managers ask about status at all, even when the direct might have well known that the manager was going to do it.
Right?
But yeah, they're not surprised, and they're also not upset. And I want to say they know that the first part of the meeting is theirs, and they should get to put whatever they want in it, except some people haven't briefed. So if you haven't briefed your team, they don't know the first part is theirs.
They don't know that.
Maybe that's how people are getting – they're, like, usurping the meeting by not briefing their team.
Mm-hmm.
But they know that the first part is supposed to be theirs if you've done your prep
your briefing.
Work.
Yeah.
So
– yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to happen that a lot of the one-on-ones that you're in have topics that are similar. If you have people who are dedicated to their job, they probably have a list of things that they care about at work. And so those things might come up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And that doesn't mean that someone who has a list that includes Star Wars and Turtles isn't dedicated. It's
right.
just they have a different set of things that they want to talk about. And there's going to be similar topics. There's going to be some times where there's differences.
Yeah.
The differences don't mean that there's a disconnect or discontinuity or an error on someone's part. Different people have different agendas. And sometimes they have the same agenda for weeks and then it changes. What they care about today or what's on their mind could be different. And
Just like for you.
Just like for
it's
you.
It's different.
Just like for you. You know that. And enforcing the opposite would be silly.
It's silly.
It is kind of funny to me because it's like you would never go, I don't think anyone listening to this cast would go purposely into the break room and force someone that they went to talk about whatever they want, right? Like they wouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to go into the break room and find a person and make them talk about guitars. Like that's not something you would do.
That's what we're talking about, period.
No, you cannot talk about mandolins because that's different. I'm sitting in an office where my backdrop is guitars. Otherwise, I wouldn't have ever come up with that. People are wondering why I'm talking about guitars. It's because I'm staring at a wall of them. We wouldn't inflict that on someone.
Right, exactly.
So
why on
let's
your
not.
Dance? Right, so let's not. And folks, if we've not yet convinced you, if you still think that your directs should brief you on your agenda during their portion of the one-on-one, fine, go ahead, make them. But don't call those meetings a one-on-one, definitely not an MT one-on-one. And don't tell anybody that you learned how to do them from manager tools. It is a fundamental failure to the purpose of a critical tool that will help you lead your teams. Letting them go first, talking about what they want to talk about, incredibly important. So, to wrap it all up, some managers want their directs to use their portion of the one-on-one to brief the boss on the boss's agenda. And it's wrong. Don't do it. Follow our guidance and cover your agenda during your own portion of the one-on-one. That's what it's there for, and leave your direct portion to them, whatever they choose to make it. That is how you build trust.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate. That's all for this week, folks. Join us next week for a new topic.
Bye, y'all.